I'm Amy Paulson, and I am an instructor in the Department of Pediatrics at Eastern Virginia Medical School, and I serve as the director for our Healthy by Default, Healthy Norfolk Reach project, along with Kathy Ferguson and Amanda Clark and a host of other staff members. Me and my co-authors here do not have any personal financial relationships to disclose. So what I'm going to talk about today is what we did with our Norfolk Healthy Reach project and describe the coalition approach that we used in implementing the REACH project in Norfolk, identify some different approaches that we took in implementing changes at the city government level with local public housing and with our local faith-based organizations. I'm going to talk a little bit about some of the barriers and challenges that we had, and then also explain a little bit about how we used the CDC change tool to evaluate our outcomes. A little bit of background on REACH in case you're not familiar with it. The CDC has a program called REACH, which is Racial and Ethnic Approaches to Community Health. This program overall aims to eliminate racial and ethnic disparities in health. In particular, our funding arm was focused on nutrition and physical activity using a policy systems and environmental change approach. And our national program office for our particular REACH grant was at UC Berkeley. So a little bit of background on our Healthy Norfolk REACH project. Normally, REACH projects are actually usually at least a couple years long, if not 3 to 5 years. And so we originally got an opportunity to apply for funding. It was for a 15-month project. And then during that time, you guys might remember some stuff going on with our government and some shutdowns that happened. So in the end, what happened is that instead of a 15-month program, we ended up with an 8-month grant cycle, which was a little bit terrifying for us going into it in terms of trying to attain the goals that we had set out to do. Our priority population was the African American population in Norfolk, which is the largest minority group in the city of Norfolk, and to impact 75% of that population. We had a community-wide strategy that focused on working with the city to develop and implement a master bike and pedestrian plan, which has aspects of complete streets in it, and in particular trying to include the minority voice in that process, which is often left unheard in community processes. Our sector strategy focused on policy systems and environmental changes with primarily African American churches and our local public housing communities. And we also worked with two coalitions, the Healthy Norfolk Coalition and the Consortium for Infant and Child Health, both coalitions which had different types of strengths that we were able to bring to the table. So first off, the Master Bike and Pedestrian Plan. Obviously, with an 8-month timeline, that was a very aggressive timeline to actually get something like that through City Council. So we focused really on the development of that plan and the beginning pieces of that process. The Bike and Pedestrian Master Plan was supposed to be serving as a form of complete streets policy to make streets friendly for all modes of transportation. We used the CDC change tool to identify the challenges and opportunities that the cities have related to this. And the city was able to move forward a contract with our REACH funding to start the development of that policy. We're also able to obtain something called EcoCounters, which allowed us to actually look at different areas of the city and be able to successfully count the pedestrian and the foot traffic going through there. And then more importantly, we held a series of community dialogues to influence that policy and to amplify our community's minority voices. So in community dialogues that we held across the city, and a community dialogue is kind of like town hall meeting meets focus group. It's really neither, it's something kind of in between. And we focused on asking questions about walking, biking, and healthy eating. And we held 14 dialogues that reached 167 people that represented another 9,000 plus people. And 91% of those people were African American, so we felt strongly that we had in fact been able to contact our priority population. And the majority of those people lived in Norfolk, but some of them didn't. And that was fine because we were not only focusing on the residents of Norfolk, but anybody that what we did what we called live, learn, play, worked, or worshipped in Norfolk. So if they attended school or they attended a church in Norfolk. Our area is a little bit unique in that all of our cities are kind of smashed together in the southeast corner of Virginia. And so instead of driving down the street and just being in another neighborhood like you would in another place like Jacksonville or Charlotte, North Carolina, when you drive down the street in our area, you're in another city. So it's very, very fluid population across the cities. And what we found is a lot of suggestions that we were able to give specific recommendations to the city to shape policy. Very specific corners and streets, very specific guidelines about lighting and sidewalks. We were able to identify their primary barriers to walking and biking safely in Norfolk, in particular related to safety and crime and injury. And then there was also a lack of knowledge and resources around how to do these things safely. So lots of people felt like that they should bike facing traffic because they felt like they wanted to be able to see the cars. So lots of educational deficits related to that. We're also able to identify some primary barriers to healthy eating. In terms of cost, what we ended up labeling as menu mystery, which means that they really didn't know what was in the food, so they went ahead and ordered it because it sounded good. Lack of knowledge, cultural influence, and some geographical challenges like food deserts and locations of healthy places to eat. Our faith-based intervention, which is really the largest portion of this program, originally set out to intervene with 6 churches. Again, we had an 8-month time frame, which once we actually got started was really more like a 6-month time frame. We conducted change tool assessments with the churches and were able to provide recommendations, action plans, and provided support for changes. We had 12 churches that started out with us, so we actually over-recruited. Our original goal was 6. So we over-recruited, expecting that we might lose a few to attrition. 2 of them in the end dropped out, and 10 completed the whole project with us. We reached over 14,000 people through those churches. And we saw overall, across nutrition, physical activity, and leadership, between an 8 and 18% improvement in their policies score for their CDC change tool, and between a 4 and 19% improvement in their environmental scores for their CDC change tool. We utilized something called a pathway to success cycle. After having done a lot of these projects in many of our cities around policy systems and environmental change, one of the things that we had noted was that sometimes we lose the organizational participant to the process. So you do the assessment and you talk and they have great ideas and they say they're going to do things, and then you think they're going to do things and you give them stuff and they don't do it. And so we developed a very lockstep process for them to be successful in developing policy systems and environmental change. Starts out with the CDC change tool. Based on that tool, we provide very specific recommendations to them that are cross-matched to their CDC change tool scores. So they know which actions that are recommended will affect which pieces of the score on the CDC change tool. Then we work with them and their leadership team to do what's called prioritization, which is they go through all those recommendations and figure out what's the best fit for their organization. What do they think for them would work and not work? What do they want to focus on? And based on that, we come up with an action plan. And the churches have one of two ways that they could do this. They could either develop the action plan themselves using a template that we provided based on their own discussions about prioritization with our staff. Or based on those discussions, they could tell us what they wanted on the action plan. Our staff would actually put it to paper and give it back to them to edit from there. Overwhelmingly, the majority of churches chose for us to put it together for them and give it back to them. And that enabled them to be much more successful. The action plan itself was very much built on a lay-friendly format. We'll talk about that in a second. Once they had their action plan complete and it was approved and signed by their church leadership, we did cost analysis to figure out what we could and couldn't afford to actually get them for the grant, and then we moved to implementation. One of the things that we did, having learned the hard way on some prior projects, was we actually sort of held their stuff that they wanted, whether it was sterile promotion signs or kitchen equipment or whatever it was that they had identified as their action plan. We sort of held it hostage if it was linked at all to any of their policy work. So if they had a healthy meeting policy where they're going to be using the kitchen equipment, we required that that policy be completed before they received the resources, the material resources. And we found that was a much better way to do it, because a lot of times we found if we gave the resources early that the policies never were actually completed. And so this helped to keep the sites on track. And then, of course, after implementation, they did their policies, they got their material resources, we went back and did another assessment using the CDC change tool at the end. Here's a quick look at a sample action plan, actually a part of a sample action plan for churches. This is actually part of one of our church's action plans, focusing on their goal related to physical activity. As you can see, it's very lay friendly. It basically says, what are we going to do? What do we have to do in terms of steps to be successful? What material resources do we need? When are we starting and ending? And how do we know when we've been successful? So again, very lay-friendly action plan. Doesn't look like a lot of the action plans that many of us probably have for our projects. But we wanted this to be a usable living document for the organizations. And these were usually several pages long, and we required that they were signed off on by their church leadership. Here's a copy of a part of a sample policy that one of the churches developed that focused on anything from providing healthy food choices to healthier menu options, using appropriate portion sizes when serving food. Many of them actually got serving utensils so they could hand off plates that actually had appropriate serving sizes on them. So these are all different things that they chose to do. I'm not going to read them all because I know that you guys can take a look later. Other things that they did were things like using a healthy meeting checklist to be able to plan for meetings, incorporating instant recess, which are 5 to 10 minute physical activity breaks for every 1 hour of meeting time, utilization of the bike racks that they got from our project, promoting stairwells. As much as possible, we tried to include evidence-based strategies for their consideration as recommendations, things that we knew if they did it, it would work to increase physical activity or good nutrition habits. So what does change look like? And this is just a quick snippet from the CDC Change Tool. We actually only evaluated for our REACH project physical activity, nutrition, and leadership. There are other components to the CDC Change Tool that we did not use for this project. So we have the pre-period, which is the P and the E are policy and environment, and then post-policy environment, and then the percent difference. And so you can see for physical activity, for instance, we had an 18% improvement in their physical activity policy score and a 17% improvement in their environmental score between the beginning of the project and the 8-month project. We actually also did a 1-year follow-up, which I'm not going to really be talking about today. We might be presenting on it next year. But you can see that the organizations continued mostly to be able to continue to make project success and project improvements 1 year after the project as well. And I do have to say I have a love-hate relationship with the Change Tool. It's somewhat of a difficult tool to use, but it really does give you a way to objectively measure what's going on in communities. There are some subjective pieces to it, and that's certainly somewhat of a limitation of the tool, but it's really probably the best tool that I've come into contact with in terms of being able to put some quantifiable results to this type of work. So here are just some pictures of things that the churches did. We have a church that got a griddle so that they could grill fish and chicken instead of frying it. We provided them with resources like posters that help people make decisions about which foods to pick when they were serving food. They got a comprehensive manual on all kinds of different things that could help support the work that they were doing. Sterile promotion signs, that's a fruit slicer there. So one of the churches wanted to be able to serve more fresh fruit, but if they were serving 300 children in an after-school program, it was very hard to cut all those. And our school folks tell us that kids that age have lots of dental teeth coming in and out, and they won't eat whole fruit, so we have to slice it. This allows them to bang out 300 apples with slices very easily with minimal staff. Nursing chairs, this is one of our staff people with two of our pastors that we worked with. Community gardens. This is actually a really neat site. If anybody's ever been to Norfolk, Virginia, you'd probably know where the St. Paul-Brambleton Avenue corridor is. This is a downtown inner city corridor, and this happens to be a little, probably 50-foot by 50-foot patch of land, some of the only grass that's in downtown Norfolk. And so they built a community garden on it to feed their after-school and daycare children and their church. All kinds of sports equipment, and we also did a variety of teaching with them to help gain support from their membership. So some examples of church impact: instant recess, a variety of activity programs for children in their care or interacting with their church, nursing rooms, sterile promotion programs, lots of kitchen equipment to help support healthy preparation, and policies for physical nutrition and physical activity breaks. The Housing Authority was also a partner with us. The Norfolk Redevelopment Housing Authority is one of the largest housing authorities in the state of Virginia. And we were able to help them to increase healthy options for residents and their employees. We identified also an ongoing funding opportunity for them for implementation of their plan so that they could continue the work that we had started once our funding ran out. In particular, they were focusing on implementing something called supervised free play, which is the idea that children have a safe place to play with a volunteer who's just out there to make sure that nobody gets hurt, nobody kills each other, and to call for help if needed. But the adult's role is not to actually tell the children what to do. It's to provide the equipment and the kids actually organize and play themselves. And so we had a variety of policy changes as well within this organization and some really great, neat things that they were doing and are continuing to do. So in terms of overall results, and this is focused on our faith-based sites, which are really the largest portion of our program, you can see that for both policy and environment related to physical activity, that we had significant gains at each site. So we didn't have any site that wasn't able to make some sort of progress related to physical activity during what was an 8-month grant period, which really was more like a 6-month grant period for the churches, because by the time that we organized and hired our staff and recruited the churches, we only had about 6 months to work with them, which is the tightest time frame that we've ever had to implement this type of project. Normally we have a 2 to 3 year time period that we're trying to make all this happen in. We also had a partnership with Norfolk State University, their dietetics department. We had students come in and do nutritional analysis for the churches on what they were serving, and they were offered recipes that basically took what they were serving, and they had a better and a best option. So whatever they were serving, the students did nutritional analysis on it so that they knew how many calories and fat and all that kind of thing was in it. And then they offered a better, which was an improvement, and then a best. The best recipe met the American Heart Association's guidelines for healthy meals. However, most churches weren't ready to go quite that far. And so once we found that out, we offered them an intermediary option. So we felt like it was better for them to move in the right direction than to not move at all because they felt like the goal was unrealistic. So they were moving in the right direction. The students also did teaching, cooking demonstrations, taste tests, and health fairs with the churches we were working with. So in terms of nutrition, again, we were able to move everybody along on both policy and environments related to nutrition for our churches during that 8-month period. And for some, you can see they really made more gains than others. Some actually started out at different levels. And that's the neat thing about the change tool, is that if we had one single criteria for success, it wouldn't have looked like some of these churches had improvements because they started at a different place than others did. So some were a little bit farther along in thinking about health than others, and you can see that reflected here. And then in terms of leadership, we had a little bit less movement in leadership, particularly related to policy. And this was partially because a lot of the leadership aspects were really related to budgetary considerations and how they were supporting physical activity in the greater community surrounding them. However, we were able to still make some significant gains in terms of them making progress on focusing on leadership aspects of healthy eating and physical activity in their church and greater community. So some barriers, very short time frame. We had funding limitations on food, which if you guys have had a government grant, it's a challenge, and particularly when we want to get people to try new things, it would have been helpful if we were able to actually purchase some food to do taste tests and things like that from these funds. We have varying levels of coalition member and site participant engagement. So at the sites where people were really, really engaged, we were doing great. In sites where they weren't, not so much. We also had some coalition member fatigue because the timeline was so incredible for this project. We really relied on our coalition partners to help for a lot of things, like community dialogues and helping with change tools and all kinds of different aspects of this. And we really used them much more frequently than we would have during a normal project period. And we had challenges getting timely responses from leaders. And this wasn't normally a problem because normally we have a much longer time period. But in this truncated time period, if we didn't have a church minister, for instance, call us back if it was 2 weeks because they were busy or out of town, normally that wouldn't have been a big deal. But because we had such a short time frame, getting quick responses from people and getting them on board and understanding the urgency of us being able to do this was very, very challenging. And then we also dealt with unwillingness to change, in particular around things like what we call Wednesday night church dinner. But people love our fried chicken. People come to our church instead of the church across the street because of our food. And so it was very, very difficult to get them to change mindsets in some facilities. And so we tried to take baby steps. And so they weren't ready to get rid of the fried chicken. We said, well, could you at least offer an alternative to the fried chicken as part of your healthy meeting policies? So in summary, we were able to have some significant changes in 8 months in 10 churches, the housing authority in the city, with policy, environmental, and systems impacts. We did get ongoing commitments from them that carried the work on after the grant ended through their action plans. And we have a plan health assessment that we're trying to develop for churches to be able to assess their congregation itself, which we hope will actually help them to adhere to their action plans if they know, for instance, what percentage of their congregants have diabetes and heart disease and that kind of thing. And we've expanded this model to Suffolk, Virginia, where we're working with 15 churches there. Again, limitations, short time frame. This was a community process. This was not a research grant, so it did lack research rigor. And then also responses to some questions in the change tool and the dialogues had aspects of both subjective and objective responses. And so sometimes it's hard to tease out opinion from fact. Future work is focusing on effective strategies to shift the church member attitudes and to promote participation in the programs that they're trying to put forward, hopefully utilizing a longer intervention period. And then we're also doing an evaluation right now with follow-up support at 3 and 6 months after their year one milestone is reached. In conclusion, we really felt that despite the very short time frame, that REACH made a very significant impact on the citizens, the African-American citizens in Norfolk, Virginia. We have potential to use this model to make significant impact on a much larger scale. And we really felt like the Pathway to Success cycle provided community partners a feasible process and helped them to understand what the steps were that they need to take for success. And then also, our coalition members were really our key to success. If we had not been able to utilize the support from our community members in planning and implementation and all the work, every step of the way, this would not have been a successful project. Thanks to all of our staff, some who are still with us, Dr. Kate Ferguson, who's here today, who served as our evaluator, and all the rest of our staff who were just instrumental in making this project a success. Thank you.